This is New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Freinier. Advocates for the wrongly convicted often say they'd much rather prevent mistakes than fix them after years of incarceration. But how to do that is up for debate. Defense lawyers in Massachusetts say police and prosecutors have made progress in how they gather eyewitness evidence, but the courts have not quite caught up with the science. In the final part of our series, Questioning the Witness, New England Public Media's Karen Brown reports.
In 1999, the U.S. Department of Justice put out a report on how to get better eyewitness evidence using what we know about science and memory. At first, legal experts say not much changed in courtrooms, but the report did lead to police trainings, including one attended by an officer named Bill Brooks.
I kind of went kicking and screaming.
At the time, Brooks was deputy police chief in Wellesley, Massachusetts. He was skeptical about eyewitness science because he felt police were the experts on criminal investigation.
So I went to the training prepared to be unimpressed.
But Brooks was impressed. He persuaded his boss to let him write a new science-based policy for the department. Now Brooks is police chief for Norwood, Massachusetts, known nationally for his work on eyewitness identification. And he goes around the country giving workshops to police officers.
I'm going to show you a little clip of a crime being committed. Just take a look at it.
This is from a police training Brooks led in Maryland. He shows a video of a mock robbery and then a lineup of suspects who all look similar. Some of the trainees pick one guy, some another, others pick no one.
How certain are you?
75%, okay. How good a look did you get at the guy?
After the first lineup, he shows the group a second lineup with different people in it.
Anybody see anybody looks familiar in that second lineup? Wish you'd shown us that lineup first. We wouldn't have sent number one in the first lineup to prison because number one in this one is the real guy. So what does this experiment mean?
Brooks sees himself as a link between science and law enforcement. He says police are often under immense pressure to zero in on a suspect, and shortcuts are tempting. But at the same time,
nobody wants the wrong guy to go to prison.
That's everyone's nightmare. And prosecutors, as much as anybody else, want to avoid that.
Stephen Gagne is a prosecutor for Hampshire and Franklin counties. He says not only is wrongful conviction horrendous for the person who loses their freedom.
But secondly, if you get the wrong guy, that means that the actual perpetrator is still out there.
That's one reason he says his office tries never to hinge a case entirely on what a witness thinks he or she saw, not without at least some corroboration, like a confession or forensic evidence.
I'm more wary of that now than I was earlier in my career, where you figured, well, if you have one or ideally two eyewitness identifications, you're good to go.
Sometimes, Gagne says, defense attorneys try to stir up too much doubt over eyewitness testimony. For instance, in a recent gunshot case, the suspect admitted being at the crime scene, and the victim testified he'd bit his attacker during the struggle.
And sure enough, the defendant had a nice set of teeth marks on his forearm when he was arrested a day later. Still, the defense went with a mistaken identification defense, and I pretty much called it out for what it was during my closing argument. I said, that insults your intelligence, ladies and gentlemen.
But Gagne says occasionally his office is uncomfortable with how police get a witness to pick a suspect, and he won't use the evidence at trial. Like if they put together a photo array that makes the suspect stick out from the so-called fillers because of their clothing or skin color or photo background.
And we see those as opportunities not only to slow down and pump the brakes on that particular case, but to work with that detective or that police department, use it as a teaching moment.
But even when all parties want to follow best practices, the science sometimes evolves faster than law enforcement can keep up. Jeffrey Starnes is a psychology professor at UMass Amherst who studies memory and eyewitness testimony.
Some of the findings are very intuitive.
Like how far a witness is from the crime, or whether it was dark outside. But
some things are much more surprising, like one thing that's been an element of jury instructions in courts is you should pay attention to how confident the witness is.
Starnes says that's an outdated assumption. In fact, he says a witness can become more confident after they testify multiple times or get interviewed repeatedly by police, even if they're wrong. Norwood Police Chief Bill Brooks says he had to come to terms himself with the less intuitive aspects of eyewitness science. Among the most game-changing is called blind administration. That's when the detective who's working a case leaves the room and a different officer shows the witness photos. At first, Brooks was wary.
They wanted us to hand it off to somebody who knew nothing about the case and have them show it, which I took as insulting, like we were trying to throw an ID or something.
But now Brooks requires blind administration in his own police department because researchers have found the ID is more reliable without the case detective watching.
And the reason for that is so you don't get any body language feedback. The witness isn't going to be subconsciously swayed by anything that the person says.
Lisa Steele is a defense attorney and advocate for better eyewitness protocol. Even though the research is clear, she says, blind administration doesn't always happen.
Identification protocol.
Take this Springfield case from 2016, in which Steele's client, Luther Williams, was accused of a shooting.
So you'll be asked to view a set of photographs. You understand that question?
Yes. In this police video, an officer recites the proper procedures as a witness starts to look at a photo array.
The alleged perpetrator may or may not be in the photographs. You understand that?
While the officer administered the lineup, a detective working the case was sitting right next to him, watching.
Did you recognize someone? Okay. Who did you recognize? Do you want to look through him again?
She doesn't pick the defendant, and she's looking at a different guy. And she's saying, this guy, you know, this guy looks like him.
So do you think that you would be able to say this is the guy, or you think maybe he looks like that? You know what I mean? Because I don't want you just to go by, like, the expression, you know?
That's the case detective interjecting. Under blind administration, he's not supposed to be involved, but he can see the witness has not picked his chief suspect.
We're not putting pressure on you to pick someone out. If you don't know for sure that it's him, we don't want you to, you know.
And it's not, again, that I think they're wanting to influence her directly, but they know, you know, they know this ain't the guy.
In the end, the witness shrugs and backs off her pick. Later, the police said another witness did pick Williams out, and he was eventually convicted of the crime. A spokesman for the Springfield Police would not discuss this case. He said they follow state guidelines for eyewitness interviews. But those guidelines include blind administration, which was clearly not followed here. Without consistency across police departments, attorney Lisa Steele says the risk of wrongful conviction goes up. Steele has worked on cases that changed the evidence rules going forward, but she's never won an appeal for a client by challenging the eyewitness testimony at trial.
Among the hardest things in the defense attorney's life is when you meet your client and your client looks up at you and says, Ms. Steele, I didn't do this. And you look at the record and you bang your head on the desk and you say, holy crap, I don't think you did do this, but I can't fix it.
That's why she wants police, prosecutors, and attorneys to up their game from the start. She'd like more law schools to teach eyewitness science. And she wants procedures better legislated in Massachusetts, including mandatory state-funded police training and videotaping of all witness interviews. Frankly, Norwood Police Chief Bill Brooks doesn't think legislation is the answer. Police don't like being told how to do their jobs.
Because honestly, most times that doesn't go well.
A better solution, he says, is just teaching them the best way to figure out who committed the crime. He knows there are awful cases where an innocent person goes to prison because the police messed up.
And then there are the wrongful conviction cases where the witness just picked the wrong person. The police did everything right. The police tried really hard. Their heart was in it. They followed good procedure. They've been properly trained by their department. The witness just made an error. And the point that I make is if, God forbid, if you ever have a wrongful conviction case, you want it to be that second kind.
Late last year, the Massachusetts governor signed a massive police reform package. Among the components, it created a civilian commission for police certification, which includes some oversight of training and conduct, but it made no mention of eyewitness testimony. For New England Public Media, I'm Karen Brown.
There's more from our series, Questioning the Witness, at nepm.org. This is New England Public Media.